And it's my pleasure to be here. I will take over the moderating duties now. But I'm presenting on survey information. So I want to make sure everybody's aware that as I get ready to speak to survey data, that I did prepare hot sauce because it's survey data. All right, so that said, my name is Albert Trillian. I am the Senior Director for Clinical and Community Partnerships with the National Council on Aging, a decidedly non-public health agency. It's a very unique experience for me working with the Aging Network and being the health professional. When I was hired to take this position, I was asked why they should not hire an MD. My answer to them was, I'm a lot cheaper. And I got the job. That said, what an interesting thing working in an agency which represents a different sector as a public health agent, and the use of the tools that goes with this agency, bringing in all the different tricks from public health to see how they can work, how they could work to reinforce actually a part of the sector which has a lot less funding than public health has. A lot of our funding comes from the Administration for Community Living. Has anybody heard of the Administration for Community Living? One, two. All right, for those of you who are not aware what the ACL is, it is the smallest part of Health and Human Services. It has one-fifth the budget of the CDC. So the big task here is to figure out the value of aging network-related resources, to build upon that value, and to make the partnerships with things, people, agencies that have money. And in the health world, it goes to health care. Here you'll see that we are a nonprofit agency. A lot of confusion about the National Council on Aging. A lot of thinking that we're a federal agency, and it's not the case. We are an advocacy organization. I would say that's probably one of the more significant parts of the work that we do, is that we can leverage private and public monies toward overall infrastructure improvement, but then use those private funds to do a little bit of advocacy as well. And it has paid off. I'm not sure why this slide turned out to be like that. Improve the lives of millions of older adults, especially those who are vulnerable and disadvantaged. Helps differentiate the NCOA from other aging network-related organizations, such as the AARP and other agencies that may represent the aging network infrastructure. Our work is and can be centered around two main avenues. I would say healthy aging and economic security. We have a pretty sizable piece of funding from the Department of Labor, and that sets up for us an employment program across the country to help get older adults into employment. In addition, for healthy aging, we have quite a few different products that we work with, a Center for Healthy Aging, the Self-Management Alliance, getting people into Medicare, but also some things that helped to make sure seniors can actually access and take advantage of the programs that are set up to help them. I didn't do the official slide. I thought it was going to be good enough to know that I was a bleeding heart, and I'm not out in this to make money, but I don't do anything else but this, okay? My work goes specifically around the Center for Healthy Aging. We have the funding from the ACL that builds the National Resource Center for Chronic Disease Self-Management Programs. There are 22 state grantees. Really working hard at integrating self-management into health systems. And I'll speak a little bit more to that in a second. We have the National Flu Plus U program, since only 2 out of 3 seniors have a flu vaccine and it kills more people than Ebola. We want to make sure everyone gets their flu shot. And if you're at this conference, you haven't got your flu shot, I'm going to wag my finger at you. Suffice it to say. The last thing that we do is we do some data gathering. It is one thing that is not a big part of the aging network. There are some surveys from other representative associations, such as the National Association of State Units on Aging and Disability and the Area Agencies on Aging. that are set up by the ACL. Other than that, it's really hard to find data on seniors, especially related to trends in health, and in this case, multiple chronic conditions. 63% of Medicare beneficiaries have two or more chronic conditions, and there is a growing evidence base of programs that help address this epidemic. Health reform has tried to create opportunities to benefit aging adults, I'm really speaking to demonstration projects that join healthcare with community-based organizations. But the information on how this is progressing is increasingly hard to find. There is one survey, the Health Reform Monitoring Survey, which really speaks to the uninsurance rates, but it has nothing on the elderly population. So what I try to do is pull a rabbit out of a hat. It's been a lot of fun to take a survey, which was not intended to do this, and to see what could be done with it. The United States of Aging Survey from 2012 to 2014 is something created in partnership with United Health Group and USA Today and the National Association on Area Agencies on Aging, or the N4A, which is the coolest website for aging network-related associations. It literally is an N4 and an A. All right, so the aim of the analysis with the survey was to study the trend of aging adults with multiple chronic conditions and health reform-related experiences. We're looking here specifically at public payment, Medicare, if they are dual eligibles, and there are 9 million of them in this country, and Medicaid. Private payment, the survey did cover aging adults 60 years of age and older. Access to a health care provider, and then access to community-based organizations related to improvements in health. To explain how self-reported good health, but here multiple chronic conditions, is associated with health reform-related experiences during the vital years of implementation. Penn Shane Berwin conducted phone interviews on groups between April of 2012 and 2014. General population national seniors, the national general population 1849 in two of those years. So the general population was weighted against the U.S. Census Bureau data. Sample sizes under 75 are not shown. And we'll see some data here that will be pointed out as not presented for 2012 and 2013 because those surveys were a little bit different. But here are all of the surveys lined up together. We're looking at sample sizes about 1,000 per year. And again, you'll see in two of those years, we did go after some of the other populations as well, so we could compare some of those populations to aging adults and what that meant. These were pretty hefty instruments here. And the real focus, aside from healthy aging, was on economic security. It really spoke to some of the different trends and what's important for aging adults, but not specifically to health reform. So I'm taking experiences from, or data from, this survey, and I'm kind of bringing them over into health reform-related variables. When we say multiple chronic conditions as our dependent variable, we're looking at a listing of multiple chronic conditions, and I'll speak a little bit more about that later as well. But what happened is in the survey, they ticked off chronic condition after chronic condition. If you had one, you had to answer yes. COPD, arthritis, diabetes, et cetera, et cetera. Community-based organizations were those who had had interaction with a community-based organization, a AAA, a Y, a senior resource center, of which there are 11,000 in this country, that was health-related, self-management programs. If you were a part of a self-management program in a CBO, this was a part of this variable. Visiting with a physician, and that meant either primary care or specialist. I did not differentiate, but I also threw in nurse practitioners and physician's assistants as well, because there was an interaction with those health care providers in this population, and it was received positively. Private insurance, and then public coverage, including Medicare, Medicaid, and TRICARE for veterans. A quick chi-square analysis shows significance between those with fewer multiple chronic conditions and experiences across these different variables. And we'll see that public coverage or having Medicare, Medicaid, having the coverage overall spoke to fewer chronic conditions. There was that association, but this is a very basic analysis. So I went ahead and threw in a logistic regression model that took all of these different variables into consideration. And what we see here is there's really no movement, no impact, or no relationship between private insurance and these different variables, but the public coverage piece here is, and the models were very significant. For all 3 years, we also see odds ratios here, which I think doesn't really show any movement across the 3 years, but it does speak to the importance of public coverage, something that can be reinforced with other data points, but nothing really telling with these surveys between all different years. What we learned here is that the use of the instrument, while helpful in speaking to the importance of public coverage, really needs other data and really needs other instruments. It was hard to really suss out the relationship between some of the things that were happening in health reform and enrollment related to that integrated care. I think especially related to the number of multiple chronic conditions. These things were self-reported, and we ran into some problems there as well. And this gets to gathering data on multiple chronic conditions, no matter what kind of instrument that we're using, that some people just don't associate chronic conditions with the different conditions that they actually have, much less what multiple chronic conditions means. One of the summary questions for different respondents was related to the impact of each chronic condition together and their overall health if they had multiple chronic conditions. Sussing out the impact based on chronic condition was very, very difficult as well. Public coverage related, again, in all 3 years was very significant, but no private insurance. Part of that was simply because we had much fewer respondents who were between the ages of 60 and 65. The significant models suggest a success of ongoing efforts, but it really is a surface look at aging adults and this integrated care piece. What I'd like to do is speak to the need for further investigation into the relationship between community-based organization efforts and self-management integrated with healthcare. A big part of the work that we're doing is on the integration of self-management, and we've actually created the measures through the Self-Management Alliance, looking at the integration of self-management across 4 different socio-ecologic efforts. One of these, the individual effort, was created from scratch, a partnership between the National Committee for Quality Assurance, the CDC, and the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation. It was very difficult to create this measure for the individual level. For the health plan level, which is the current level of effort, we went to the National Committee of Quality Assurance and used the patient-centered medical home standards that spoke to self-management for those PCMH practices. For the non-PCMH practices, we're creating these measures from the ground up. That said, the work is ongoing. With this study, there are several limitations, as I've mentioned. It was a telephone survey, cross-sectional. They were not meant and intended to speak to health reform. It was pulling a rabbit out of the hat. And health reform includes many components that could not be captured by that survey instrument. There are also points in time across 3 years, and we're not meant to be and look at that trajectory of effort. That said, I'm happy to answer any questions, or as the standing moderator in possess of a lot of power, we can wait until the end. Sold. Thank you very much.